Toad and Hasha Butler, Doro Tambourine Dolum. He shed yamim, asadonai, shemayim v'yet haaretz, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat ledo tamborit olam. V'yom ha-shvi shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat ledoro tamborit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Pray for Jerusalem.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord, God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the peace of Kol Yisrael, of all Israel. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Your word says in Psalm 126, they that love her shall prosper, but they that curse her, Genesis 12:3, will be cursed. And we want to be counted among those, Lord. We want to be counted among those who bless Israel and who pray for her peace. And we pray, Lord, Israel's been at war. Really, there haven't been a 67 and a 73 war. I was there in 2003, and a rocket landed next to my bus as I was going into Gaza. Lord, it's been going on constantly, and just the news, you don't see it in the news, but there's been a war of attrition going on for decades, Father. And we just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, that this constant tension, this constant strife would cause our people, the Jewish people, to come, and your people, the chosen people, to come to you, Lord, that they would cry out to you, or that they would be, you know, invite you to come and save them, Lord, and deliver them from this life, Lord. They don't have to live a life of fear, a life of constant, you know, weaponry and military service and fear that there's always going to be, you know, be on the alert at every turn for something bad to happen. It doesn't have to be that way, Lord. Help them. I know, we know that you're going to pour out your spirit on them, your word says in Zechariah 12:10. Lord, today we pray for the Messianic community. We pray for our leaders, for the high leaders, Lord, that the spirit of Eliakim would reign in Isaiah chapter 22. Lord, the spirit of Eliakim would reign, the spirit of Shebna would flee. Lord, we pray for vision for our leaders, for direction, new direction, fresh direction, Lord. Fresh wisdom and fresh leadership, and not just leadership in the people, but leadership in terms of how they lead us. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the rabbis today in their services, and bless them, give them boldness to speak the truth in love, give them words to say, timely words, words to minister, words to heal, words to convict. And Father, we pray for the salvation of our Jewish friends here in the diaspora, in the exile. Lord, we pray that you would remove the scales from their eyes, just as you did for me and many other Jewish people here and watching. Lord, that you remove the scales from their eyes as you did for us, Lord, and non-Jewish people as well, Lord, yes. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you are the God of Jew and Gentile. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray. I pray a special prayer for my mother today, that you would give her a visitation, that you would bring her under conviction and give her a strong conviction and unction, that you would draw her to you, that she would cry out to you, the living God, and that she would take it seriously as she's so close to the end of her life, that she would take it very, very seriously. You know her. I'll just leave it at that. So pray for Mom and pray for all our lost family and loved ones who don't know the Lord. We just lift them up right now. Remove the scales from their eyes. In Yeshua's name, bless this service, and bless all who are here, and bless all who aren't here, we don't know what their situation is today, but you do. Pray for those who are sick, and I pray for Kelly Fritz. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you, if she's not well or healed, that you heal her, take the fever and the flu that she's had, and heal her body, Lord. They've been sick for a long time. And heal them, Lord. I just pray they're well and restored to health. And anyone else who's sick, Lord, we just pray for healing today. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, touch them. And now the Lord says, Anthony.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Avinu,
Malkeinu,
Maker of all things,
Maker of all things,
ruling o'er the works of your hands,
of your hands.
You loved us so,
you loved us so.
You sent your Son to take our sin and shame.
So
Please rise for the Shema. And I'm going to ask Dante and Ron if you'd carry the Torah, prepare to carry the Torah this morning. I'll call you up. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevo, Malchuto, Leolam va'ed, v'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher nachim etzecha hayom al levavecha v'shinata ham levanecha v'dibarta baham v'shivtecha v'vetecha v'lechtecha v'derech uveshachbecha uvekumecha ukeshartam liot al yadecha v'hayu l'totafot b'neinecha ulchatavtam al mezuzot b'techa uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen, as Brother Ronnie would say. Amen, Brother Joe. Amen. See, we're a hillbilly congregation. We're the hillbilly messianic congregation, folks watching home.
No, some of us are.
Okay, well, I am. I'm the hillbilly rabbi.
I'm from the north.
She's from Chicago.
You're from Boston.
Shh. Don't tell anybody. Okay, the hillbilly rabbi. All right, I'm going to ask Ron and Dante to prepare, come up, and Anthony will direct you where to go. And hopefully it's a nice place. To that is Ein Kamocha Be'elim Adonai Ve'ein Kemasecha Malchutcha Malchut Kol Olamim U'Memsheltecha Bechol Dor Vador
Adonai Melech Adonai Malach
Adonai imloch leolam vaed. Adonai oz liamo yitain. Adonai yivarech et amo vashalom.
There is none like you, O Lord, among the
gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion
is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Let's prepare for the Torah processional. Hallelujah. What's next there, Diane?
Mikamoka.
Mikamoka. Didn't we just do that?
Ine
Matovu Manaim Shevet Achim Gam Yahad. Ine Matovu Manaim Shevet Achim Gam Yahad. Ine Hine matovu manaim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manaim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu, shevet achim. Brethren to dwell together in unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. In unity, and dwell in unity. Tovu manaim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manaim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu, hine matovu. La 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 la. Hine matovu, hine matovu. La 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 la.
Hallelujah. Vayehiben so Aharon vayomer Moshe Kuma Adonai v'yafutsu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tetze Torah ki mitzion tetze Torah udvar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Liamo Yisrael Bikdushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen.
Hallelujah. You guys can sit up here. Come and have a seat. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Adonai Hamvorach,
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Va'ed,
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Yolam Va'ed, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim, Enatan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
You can be seated. Okay, today's Torah portion is called Mishpatim, and it comes from Exodus chapter 21 through 24. And the half Torah is Jeremiah 34. Today we see that Mishpatim means rulings, and God is teaching things to Moses, and he is telling the people face to face what those instructions are. And that's what we have today. This particular parsha has 53 mitzvahs in it. If you read today, then you read 53 mitzvahs that are tucked inside of it. You see, Israel in this parsha today, Israel is still at Mount Sinai. They haven't moved yet. And God is telling them, like he tells us, that we are to spiritually refine ourselves. And in doing so, we will move ourselves into a supernatural realm that becomes very natural for us. And it will become our second nature in learning the things of God. We must view everything in life from God's perspective, because we are his divine creation. And he made the world, and he invited us into his world to have fellowship with him. That was his ultimate, or the ultimate goal, is to have fellowship with God. That's what our Creator made us for. You see, and God tells him that these judgments is what will come upon you if you don't obey the things of God. And he says, speak them before them. Show them your face, and you are to speak them in panim, which is face to face, and explain the reasons for these rulings. You see, the Torah is for our souls and also our bodies. You know, last week we talked a little bit about the 10 utterances that contain, really, when you look at them, all of the mitzvahs are contained within the 10. There's 613. Aseret ha-debrot. Debrot means to be wise, to say wise things, and that's what God was giving to Moshe as he gave him the Ten Commandments. But why did God really give us the Torah? And is the Torah relevant today? It's, you know, it's a pretty old book that has been put together by God and with the help of Moses. You see, when they were at Mount Sinai, the only what God gave them was the Ten Commandments. They didn't get the whole Torah. That's what Moshe wrote as they were journeying in the wilderness. So just before he passed away, he finished writing the complete five books of the Torah. But is the Torah really relevant today? You know, we've moved several generations, several thousand years. But I think the only thing maybe in this world that is relevant is the Torah. I don't think it's not relevant at all. But you see, the Torah helps you, makes you become righteous if you study it and apply what it says to your heart. Otherwise, it's just a book of intellect, a book of words. You see, the Torah, the goal or the target is met only when you achieve it by faith and accept Yeshua as the promised Messiah. That is the target of the Torah. It begins with him in the very first part of Bereshit. We see that he is the, it begins with the Aleph and the Tav, and we see that is what Yeshua said he was. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, and I am the Aleph, and I am the Tav. I am the first, and I'm contained within those. You see, by receiving Yeshua, the Torah can be more properly understood exactly what God is covering in his word to us. So it's important not only to study it, but it's also important to know who it's about. It's about Yeshua. Otherwise, as I said, it's just a book of intellect. You see, in Israel, when they accepted the Torah, they didn't have or know all that it contained, but they accepted it on faith that they would observe and obey the commandments that God had given them. And a lot of times this parashah today is actually sometimes called the Book of a Covenant, because it gives so many of the mitzvahs that God has given to the Israelites. And you see there was two forms of Torah. One is the written Torah that we have here, that's written by a scribe. The other is oral, and that's what Moses did to the Israelites. He gave them an interpretation, or an oral interpretation, of what God had given him at Mount Sinai. And then we have the Talmud, which also contains the Mishnah and the Gemara, which are more additional books that add more light to the Torah. One of the interesting things I've been studying in the Mishnah is the Kiddushim, which is covers the service in the temple. And it's amazing at the amount and the depth of the service in the temple. Is what was the process to do. It's volumes of reading. It's taken me a month just to read through a piece of it. But tell everything, like the noise in the temple, the walking, the shutting of doors, all had meanings to those Levites that were in there, and the Kohanim. Everything is very detailed. But you see, Yeshua transcends the eye for the eye and the tooth for the tooth, which is what his name means. You see, he calls us to overcome evil with good, and his love transcends due to the fact that he took the curse of injustice for us upon himself. And just to close the Torah portion this morning, you see, when at Transfiguration, God speaks to those that are there, and he says, "This is my son Yeshua, who is my beloved son. Listen to him." And I think today that's what we need to do, is listen more to Yeshua and get in that quiet time where he can speak more clearly and effectively to us. Shabbat shalom.
They clap for Anthony when he finishes. They clap for me when I start. I tell you, I don't get no respect. Okay. Praise the Lord. Good word, Anthony. Thank you. Vizot HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Biad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Amen.
Ha'im hi the mazikim ba tom kha merushar de rake ha de re no ha behold the tibotekha shalom ashive nu adonai eleha benashuvah.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen.
Please be seated. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on Shabbat. Amen. Amen. And we already welcomed, we have some more folks come in, so I want to reintroduce my friends from that I met a couple years ago. came to Israel with us. And how, did you come through the gal up there in Ormond Beach or Daytona? How do we connect with you? Oh, the Silvermans. And they said, go with Rabbi Joe and Don. Okay. I didn't know how you joined the tour. And the neat thing when you run a tour to Israel, we did one in 2016, is people sign up from all over. We had a, you know, you just from all over the country, they sign up. You don't even know how they connect with you. And all. It's fine. We love it. It's great to make new friends. And it'd be nice to have another tour. I'm ready to go back. Are you? Oh, well, excuse me. I know you did invite me. I think I remember that. I'm just kidding. I'm glad you got to go. It's a holy jealousy. Praise the Lord. Well, anyhow, so that's Louis and Cecilia Benitez and their daughter Tasha, who lives in Knoxville, are with us today. And let's give them a round of applause. Praise the Lord. And there's Mike and Rose in the back, who I haven't seen in a long time. Nice to see you guys. Welcome. And our friend, who's that? Who's that lady right there next near Aja? Oh, it's Carolyn. Welcome back, Carolyn. It's good to see you. Hallelujah. And as I said before, we're grateful for Terry and Anna coming all the way from Culpeper, Virginia. And when they come, as often as they do, they drive all the way from Culpeper and back. So we love you guys, and we appreciate you. Amen. And then do we have any other visitors with us today? Sir, what's your name? Tom? Todd, I'm sorry. We met last week. Where are you from, Todd? Tuskegee, Michigan. Muskegon, Michigan. Muskegon. Praise God. Yeah, it would be Tuskegee in Tennessee. Muskegon in Michigan. Tuskegee Institute isn't that in Tennessee? Oh, no, that's in Alabama. In Alabama? Yeah. Getting closer. Anyway, welcome, Todd. Well, let's give Todd a round of applause. Hallelujah. Okay, well, I just want to report to you that the fellowship hall has been painted and it's been cleaned and is now ready to put the carpet down, scheduled for next Monday. We're going to put the carpet down. We had a flood. For those who don't know, we had floods, 3 floods last summer in August and September in our fellowship hall, and we haven't used it since. And we just had the walls, a pastor and his father-in-law rebuilt the walls for us. Actually, it was the original pastor of this church when it was a Church of God for 17 years ago. And he started here and has moved on. But he came back and he heard, you know, through the grapevine that we needed help. And he rebuilt our wall. And we've put in French drains out there, and we've spent thousands of dollars sealing and protecting and dry and you know, sealing from water damage and putting in drains and to keep the building from leaking. And now they just redid the finish wall, and now we're going to put down carpet, and then hopefully we will have even though Valentine's Day is not a biblical feast, we're going to hopefully have a congregational, and anybody's welcome to come, Yeshua our Valentine dinner amen, Dante, as a time to share our testimonies, a night of sharing testimonies and having dinner together, candlelight dinner, and maybe some Valentine's treats, and rededicating our fellowship hall. Amen. So that will be our hopefully our goal is to reopen by the 14th of February, and so let's keep praying. We're almost there. And what else do I want to report to you? Passover is the 20th, I believe, of our community Passover banquet. For those who come to our Passover, is going to be at New Life Baptist Church in their gym. It's going to be, I think, the 20th of April, so mark your calendars for the For Zion's Sake Ministries Passover Banquet. I believe it's going to be Saturday, April 20th, the night before Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And so we invite you to prepare. I don't know what the price is yet, but we'll be getting that word out to you. We have a new newsletter out. It's called... Now, this happened 2 weeks ago, but it was very important, and it's probably the most important event. You know, God's events are more important than anything else that goes on in the world. We tend to think as human beings, we look in a worldly view through a worldly lens. But what God is doing his own thing in the world, and there was a blood moon called a super blood moon, or somebody call it a super wolf blood moon. I don't know what the wolf means, but anyway, the reason it's super is because the moon was closest to the earth as it gets, and that's why it was large. It was a large moon, and so this explains the significance of it from a Jewish perspective. And so if anybody who doesn't get our newsletter, or if you'd like a color copy, Dante, would you hand these out? If anybody, just raise your hand and I'll ask Dante to hand them out. Thanks, young man. All right. Just raise your hands, and Dante will hand it out to you if you'd like a copy. And so he sees you. I've just gotten back from visiting my mom with my sons, and Don joined us up there in Boston during the week. Mom is in hospice, and she called for me. She sent for me a week ago Thursday to come. And so Mama calls. I went, and so we spent about 5 or 6 days up there. And I'm going to share some reflections from our trip today, and talk about end of life and dealing with family, and things like that today in my message. How dealing with end of life and dealing with family members and who are unbelievers. So if you have family members who are unbelievers, and you're dealing with end-of-life issues, and you'd like to know how to share your faith with your family members, and you struggle because they don't receive you as a voice of truth or wisdom, because the Yeshua said a man shall not be a prophet in his hometown or in his household. And so a lot of times people have difficulty sharing their faith, sharing the word, the gospel with their families. And but I'm going to share some ways that you can today, and a few other things. So anyway, that'll be coming up. And is there anything else to announce? I want to thank Diane and Carol for putting the service together. And by the way, Anthony had a class today that Yeshua showed up. So, you know, I want to let you know that if you're on our prayer chain on the phone, if you don't have a cell phone, you can't be on it. But if you have a cell phone, you can be on the prayer chain if you get text messages. And so those are for the people who are on the prayer chain you can put prayer requests, or you can announce, like Anthony's class. He can announce that he's having his class on that prayer chain. You don't need me. If you have a prayer request, you can go on that prayer chain and ask for prayer. You don't need my permission. As long as you keep it to prayer or a congregational announcement that pertains to the congregation. It's not for teachings. It's not to post videos. It's not to post, you know, the latest Sid Roth video. It's all good stuff, but that's not what it's for. And you know, if you want to share that, share it privately with your friends. I'm fine, you know, sharing a Sid Roth video or Jonathan Cahn. I get sent a lot of those things, you know. That's great, but share it, you know, one to another. Share it with your contact list. But we keep the prayer chain. We want to try to keep it sacred for congregational prayer and announcements. Okay, and if you have prayer needs and you're not in the congregation, you let me know. I'll post it on our prayer chain. And we also have Wednesday night prayer meetings at 7 p.m. here every week. Hallelujah. Okay, Well, I think that's it for my message. So let's pray for the... do we have any other announcements that I missed? Anything? Purim is coming up on March 20th. We're talking about doing a skit, kind of a Purim skit with New Life Baptist and working together with them, which would be great if we had some people to do it with us. Don would probably direct it. Anyway, and so we'll see if that happens or not. We're working towards it. And yeah, as Yoda said, try not, only do. Words of wisdom. Try not, only do. How many times people say, I'm trying. Just do it. Just do it, Dante. Stop trying. Just do it. Amen. I love this guy. He just receives the word. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings today. If you're visiting with us, we always encourage you to bring your tithe to your home congregation. But if you'd like to make a gift to our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, you can make a check payable to For Zion's Sake Ministries. That's our legal name, For Zion's Sake Ministries. If you're online and you'd like to support, you'd like to give to this ministry, you can donate securely online. We do encourage you to give us your name and address and email and possibly your phone number so that we can receipt you. Because when you put on PayPal, if we just get your name that you gave, we don't always have your address, and we can't, we have no way to contact you. So if you want to be receipted and contacted, also if you'd like to receive my newsletter, give us your address and we'll put you on the mailing list. Just tell us if you want to receive it by mail or email. And so we have a basket for the poor in Israel. We take up a love offering, a spare change offering. It's next to the offering box there, the colorful basket. So if you have some spare change and you like to give, we support needy people in Israel. And you can throw some, you know, what you have in your pocket in there. There's offering envelopes and... and I'm going to ask Terry if he would pray over the offering for us today.
Father God, we just lift up the name of Yeshua to you, Father. We just give you the glory for these offerings and tithes. Bless Israel and those people in dire straits, Father. They need you more than ever, Father. And I just give you the praise and the glory this day, Father. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen.
So just to make that clear, again, the basket is for the needy and the box is for the congregation. Hallelujah. Okay. What is the offering song we're doing today?
Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
Bethlehem, I heard the angels say,
His name, for his name is good. Yeshua HaMashiach is the name I love. Bless his name, for his name is good.
Song is going to be How Great Is Our God. We're going to begin our worship, and then we're going to go into Everlasting God. Everlasting God. Then we're going to go to Come Let Us Go Up to Zion. Hallelujah. Okay. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't. Defender of the weak, you comfort those in need, you lift us up on wings like eagles.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Follow me.
draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. You have not come to a desert mountain, but you have come to the living God. You have come to the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Zion, Zion, let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. To Yeshua, the new in his blood. We have come to the hands of the firstborn, to the righteous one. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone. Zion, let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Zion, let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Zion, let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Truth shall set you free.
Out of Zion,
a deliverer in the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The furnace of much affliction I have chosen thee, behold. So for iron I'll give thee silver, and for brass I'll give thee gold. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Now
I'm
my chosen,
for I have sought thee.
Thou art
graven on my hands, and I will gather all that are scattered.
They shall come back to their land.
Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah,
hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Oh hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord. Oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord. You free, for out of Zion comes thy deliverer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah, oh
hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah,
hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You have any shofars out there? All right, this is a...
Shana Hamaha, the shambles on their vessels, pouring the lid on. Veladim Bakusha, the Afez Kutofeset, Ben Habay, Tovin, Hasado, O Tire, O Tire, Kamatoni, Vashana, Vashana, Hamaha, O Tire, O Tire.
And have blooms they will grow, and tender leaves will blossom, and the fruit of her
hands will be sweet,
and the winds that bring change clear away the ashes, and his brothers will go forth to meet.
What to see, wait and see, what a world there can be, if we care, you and me. Wait and see, what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me.
Men have dreamed, men have died, make a bright tomorrow, and the vision remains in our hearts. Down the torch must be passed, hope but not in sorrow, and the promise make a new start. Wait and see, what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Wait and see, what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Bashana,
Bashana, Habah.
Shevel Hamir Pesach and its four Tiporim no de do Yiladim Bachusha Yafet Kuto Feset Ben Haba Ito Ben Hasador O Tire Hamato Vie Ashana Bashana Haba O Tire Hamato Vie Ashana Bashana Haba.
Jeremiah 31 says, he who scattered Israel will bring him back again.
Dawn wrote this.
Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! He who scattered Israel
will gather him again. Keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again. And keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock.
For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. And they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion.
He who scattered Israel will gather him. As a shepherd keeps his flock.
He who scattered Israel will gather him again.
And keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock.
For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. And they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. New wine and oil, young flocks and herds. Life shall be a watered garden, never, never languish again.
Hey!
He who scattered Israel will gather him again. Keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again. Keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock.
For the Lord who ransomed Jacob,
redeemed him from the strong. They shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. Choice and dance, virgins in home, morning I'll turn to joy. The people shall be satisfied with the goodness, goodness of the Lord. Shepherd keeps his flock.
Angels scatter Israel, will gather him again.
Keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock.
For the Lord has ransomed Jacob,
redeemed him from the strong. They shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. Shepherd keeps his flock.
For the Lord has ransomed Jacob,
redeemed him from the strong.
And
they shall come and shout for joy
on the heights of Zion.
Scattered Israel will gather him again. Scattered Israel will gather him again. Scattered Israel will gather him again.
Life.
What's next, Carol?
Your presence, Lord.
Our God.
Okay, praise the Lord. We are going to prepare to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, and you can do "Blessed Are You" for that if you want, or if you have a song for that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. So we're gonna prepare to go to the Lord's table, and I'm gonna ask Cecilia, would you like to help serve today? Great. And Diane, would you help and show Cecilia how we do it here? Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And folks watching at home, if you have some matzah or crackers or some type of bread that you would like to use and you'd like to join us in communion. And it was interesting. I was listening on TV the other night, and there's a lot of stuff going on about Catholics and abortion and high-level Catholic politicians supporting abortion. And there was a priest talking about excommunication. And he said, he gave a little teaching. He said the word excommunication means excommunion. You know, you're removed from the communion of the church. He was talking about the Catholic Church, but to be removed, excommunicated from the communion of the fellowship of the brotherhood, you know, we don't have the power as believers to remove somebody from the love of God. You know, the Catholic Church believes it has the power to send you to hell. We don't believe like that. But the concept is interesting. Excommunicated means removed from communion, and in a sense, that's what, when the Lord would put a leper or somebody outside the camp, they would be put outside of the communion, the fellowship of the camp, of the people, of the sheep. And so what we're going to do is go to the Shulchan Adonai, or as Christians call it, communion, the table of the Lord. And hallelujah, I'm going to go to my headset here. So Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Almost undressed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, it was a Passover. Luke 22 tells us it was a Passover night, Seder, and Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. We call it the cup of redemption. The reason we know this was the third cup, or the cup taken, is because the New Testament tells us it was the cup taken after the meal. And in every Jewish Passover, the third cup is that cup, called the cup of redemption. And he said, this cup is the new covenant, or the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. On that same Passover night, Yeshua took the middle layer of three pieces of matzah, of unleavened bread, and he broke the middle piece and gave it to his disciples. Now, we know what that's called. It's called afikomen, or afikomen in Greek, and it means that which comes later, and that's exactly what we do with the afikomen. You don't eat it at the beginning of the Seder. You eat it after the meal, which is after the halfway point of the Seder. You eat it, and we know it was the afikomen because it was taken together with the third cup, and that's how we know he broke the afikomen, that which comes later, and that's he was by this he said, this is my body, which given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he broke it in pieces, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. And then he said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, as often as you do it. So he didn't give us any prescription. And it's like I tell people, you know, we thank the Lord. We should thank him every day. Amen. Amen. But we have Thanksgiving, the holiday, once a year. Amen. Yeshua was crucified once. And Passover comes once a year. This is not Passover. This is not the Feast of Passover. This is a reminder of what he did for us on Passover. Amen? We give thanks every day. We celebrate Thanksgiving once a year. We remember what he did every day. We celebrate Passover once a year. Hallelujah. And so let's prepare our hearts to come to the Shulchan Adonai. And let's just bow our heads for a moment. If there's anyone that doesn't know Yeshua as the Messiah, Paul said, "For what I have received, I have shared with you that Yeshua died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day." And that is the gospel, that he died for you and me, Yeshua, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, was buried, and he rose on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. If you would like to meet the Messiah, if you're here with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, just raise your hand if you don't know Yeshua and you'd like to meet him today. Just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. If you're at home, you can pray with me too. If you don't know the Messiah, you'd like to meet Yeshua, you can pray with me as well, okay? Let's pray this prayer together. If you'd like to meet Yeshua, just pray this with me. Dear God, I know that I've made mistakes. I know I've blown it. I have failed in my life. I have not kept all your laws or commandments. I have done things my own way. At times I've been stubborn. Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need you to wash me. I need you to cleanse me. I want to meet you. I want you to come into my life. I invite you into my life. Come into my life now. Write my name in your book of life. Forgive my sins. And grant me the gift of eternal life. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, it's not so much the words that you said, it's what you meant in your heart. If you believe God, if you had an encounter with the Lord today for the first time, please contact me. You have email, you have phone numbers there on online that you can contact us. And I have a gift for you, a free gift that I want to send you. So please contact us if you accepted Yeshua today as your friend and your Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, I'm going to turn this over to the ladies and just you folks come as you're ready. And if this is a good time to confess our sins. And there's gluten, and this is the modern version. We have gluten-free on the bottom and regular matzah on the top. For anyone who's got a, you know, I don't know if they had gluten-free in Yeshua's day. What do you think, Diane?
It's possible paleo.
Paleo. Okay, right, we'll go with that. We're going with paleo today. Come as you're ready.
is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captives set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole.
The Lord. Okay, thank you. I'm going to get some gluten.
Yeah, I know. No one took it, Rabbi, but I will.
Well, he's I'm paleo.
You let go when he takes it. But he's serving us now. Oh.
Just put the napkin over it. That was perfect. Somebody called it. Thank you, Cecilia. Thank you, Diane. Paleo. Paleo. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we take a moment to greet one another? My pleasure. Okay. All right. Shabbat shalom, everybody. We could fellow. Isn't fellowship sweet? It's a wonderful thing. All right. Let's pray. We're going to pray for the children, pray for the message. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for this Shabbat. Your word says that you bless the Shabbat. The seventh day, you made it holy, and you set it apart from all other days. It's the only day that you blessed. It's the only day that you made holy, which means it belongs to you. Shabbat belongs to you. But you've given it to us and said it was made for us. It was your day that you made. It's holy to you, but yet you made it for us. What a mystery. Lord, we thank you for this day, for you promised to bless us and to feed us a double portion. As you gave the children of Israel a double portion of manna. We pray, Lord, for their children today.
and pray, Lord, for our kids who are here, for Isaac and Joshua, for Xavier and Billy. Pray for Chan. We pray for Crystal Lynn. We pray for all the kids who are here and kids who are not here. Pray for Vicky's kids, for Elijah and Benjamin. And we just pray for all our children and grandchildren, even adult ones. You can name and call out the names of your kids. Pray for Tasha. She's a daughter, and she's here today. We thank you for her, Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, for direction. We pray, Lord, that for these young ones, Lord, that you would speak to them like you did Samuel, that you would help them in their calling if they haven't found it yet. Lord, that you would lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, and that you would prepare them for their path in life. Lord, that you would lead them with great clarity to their chosen calling by you, their destiny. Lead them into their destiny. Help them to be successful in all that they put their hands to. Bless the work of their hands, Lord. We pray for their helpmates, that you prepare them helpmates in life, those who are called to that, and that you prepare them equally for their helpmates, Lord. Make them ready, make it special, make it beautiful, and make it the first time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for our kids, Lord. We bless them with all the blessings of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Rachel, Leah, Rebecca, and Sarah, and Miriam, and all of the righteous, I guess you'd say the Anashim Chayalim, the righteous women, all the righteous women of the Bible. We bless them. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we just pray for this message now. We thank you. We just thank you for the word. I pray for your word, your anointing upon me, Lord, your spirit. Cleanse me of Joe, empty me of myself, wash me, and make me a vessel for your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. Now bring forth your word and bind the enemy. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Let us go forth transformed by the renewing of our minds as we leave this place today. And in Yeshua's name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today's message is called Reflections. Reflections of. I want to welcome folks on Facebook. Shalom. We're glad you're with us. If you're watching, welcome Facebook friends. And today's message is Reflections. How to deal with loved ones at the end of life, how to deal with those who are unbelievers in your family, and when you're dealing with unbelievers at the end of life, not just parents, but dealing with family and siblings, so I want to talk about that today because I've just come through it, not the death, but my mother is in hospice, and she's nearing the end of her life, and she's saying goodbye. It's interesting. She's calling one child at a time, one grandchild. She's calling them to her to see her, and she's spending time alone with them, with each one, as she can, as she's able. And she called me a week ago, and so I've just returned from spending 5 days among my unbelieving Jewish family and a plethora of CNAs and nurses. You see, my mother is in hospice and has been declining somewhat rapidly this past year, and especially in the last 2 months. Finally, I received a call from her, as I said, asking me to come to her. I began praying for the timing. She called me on a Thursday. I had Shabbat on Saturday, and I didn't know how desperate quickly. I knew she was failing. I didn't know how quickly I needed to go. So I went to prayer, and, you know, I didn't get a clear word for a couple days. But Friday night, the night before Shabbat, I'll tell you what I... So I began praying for timing. Should I come to Shabbat last week? Should I get somebody to fill in It was late in the week. It was Thursday night. I didn't have much time to get a replacement for me. Should I skip Shabbat and just get a ticket and go? How bad was she, I wondered. The tickets were cheaper if I went on Saturday than Sunday. But as Isaac, my son back there at the sound booth, as he and I stayed up late Friday night a week ago, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. Before Shabbat, we were searching for flights and hotel rooms. I felt like we were striving. It was 1 a.m. and we hadn't booked a thing, and so I said, okay, let's go to bed. Then after Shabbat, we'll plan our trip for Sunday. We'll come home from Shabbat, and we'll plan our trip after Shabbat, and we'll go on Sunday. And that's what we did. We went home, we took a little rest, and we planned our trip last Saturday, and we left on Sunday. And that was perfect. It was worked out just right. And anyway, God worked out all the details, and by Sunday late afternoon, we were at my mom's just outside of Boston. And they had were going to order dinner for us so that we could visit, and we ended up visiting, but they never ordered dinner. So we ended up going out at 9:30 at night, but we ate, and we made it. So would have been nice if they ordered dinner. But so, folks at home, if you have family coming in from a distance, order dinner. All right. You know, order a pizza, get a salad. Just a little tip from the rabbi. Okay, spending time amongst unbelievers, family, people who rarely, if ever, invoke God, Yeshua, Jesus, or quote a Bible verse, if ever, whose focus is completely different, not necessarily bad, just different agendas, then there is the issue of family strife and issues of people not getting along. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10, if you have a Bible, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, through the name of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind, in the same purpose, for it has been reported to me concerning you, my brothers and sisters, by those who are from Chloe's household, that there are rivalries among you. I say this because you are each saying, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Kepha, or I follow Messiah. Has Messiah been divided? Paul wasn't crucified for you, was he? Or were you immersed into the name of Paul? I thank God that I immersed none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one should say that I had immersed you into my name. I also immersed the household of Stephanas. Besides them, I don't recall if I immersed anyone else. For Messiah sent me not to immerse, but to proclaim the good news, not with cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Messiah would be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the intelligent. Where is the wise one? Where is the Torah scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For seeing that in God's wisdom the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of the message proclaimed to save those who believe. For Jewish people ask for signs, and Greek people seek after wisdom. But we proclaim Messiah crucified, a stumbling block to Jewish people and foolishness to Gentile people. But to those who are called, both Jewish and Greek people, Messiah, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I want to focus on that verse there. First of all, unity, the beginning of, is that we're to be in unity with each other. the unity of the body is very important to the Messiah, that we be united and not divided. And the Bible says in Romans 16:17, mark one who causes divisions, mark such a one and have nothing to do with that person. Have nothing to do with them. Someone who causes divisions among you, have nothing, Paul says. You know, Yeshua and Paul, the New Testament can be pretty tough. You know, and I've had lots of people through the years who've caused divisions, and many churches have. There's many congregations, synagogues, who've undergone splits, rebellions, things like that. And, you know, it's very unpleasant. And it's very unpleasant when there's gossip and there's a lashon hara, evil tongue spoken against leadership, spoken against just other people. It's not good. So let's try to focus on being unified and you know, supporting the vision of your congregation. If you're called to a place, don't cause trouble. Be humble, be lowly, be a servant, and God will lift you up. Amen? God will lift you up. I've seen so many people strive for power, for position, and God is the one who promotes, not man. You know, praise God. So the key verse here, though, is verse 23. We proclaim Messiah crucified, a stumbling block to Jewish people and foolishness to Gentiles. That's what Paul said. And last week, we entered a world, my sons and I entered a world, and my wife came, of many competing interests. Last Sunday, upon arrival in Boston, I encountered sibling rivalry, bitterness, strife. I won't go into detail. Suffice to say, each has their own idea what's best for mom. Mom's in hospice. Mom has her own ideas what's best for her. And the nurses have their own ideas what's best for them, for mom. And there are divisions, splits in the family, splits among cousins, splits among brothers and siblings. You know, there's don't tell this person. Somebody says, I don't like this one, this cousin or this relative. And somebody else says, well, I really like this one, you know, and it's crazy. It's just nuts. And when you're a believer, you walk into the world like this, it's nutty. It's crazy. Speaking of splits in the family, this is not talking, some people not talking to that one, keeping information from another. So much intrigue over a dying woman, you'd think it was a Tom Clancy thriller or a John Grisham or David Baldacci novel. I must say, it's easy to get caught up in the politics of it, and I bit the hook more than once last week. After a couple of days and much prayer, I received clarity from the Lord. And this is what he said to me. He said, Joe, your priority here is the salvation of your mother, to pray with God for her, to anoint her, to share the gospel with her as opportunity presents itself. This is your mission. That's what he said. This is why you're here. You're not here for the politics of the family. You're not here to argue about treatment or things that you don't have the power to control. You're not here about stuff, paintings and artwork and silver and china and things like that. You're here to help your mother meet me. You're here to preach Messiah crucified. That is your sole purpose in being here, to love your family, to love your mother, to love your relatives. But that's your purpose. I needed that clarification. I needed to be reminded of that, you know. And, you know, I think Isaac pointed it out too. He said, Dad, we're here for the, that's the reason we're here. He said it, I believe. Did you say that to me, Isaac? Isaac said it. Mark that. So that's your mission, God said. Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Messiah crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. That was my mission, our mission. Not so easy when it comes to family. Isn't that Yeshua, the carpenter's son, Matthew 13:55. It is written that Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." So when Yeshua went to Nazareth and began to preach and said, "These words are fulfilled in your sight," they said, "Isn't this Yeshua? Isn't this Yeshua? Jesus, isn't this the carpenter's son? Mary's son? Joseph's son? You know, where does he get out? Who does he think he is telling us prophecy?" You know, and that's when Yeshua said, "A man shall not be a prophet in his hometown or in his household." And that's Mark 6:4. We had a mostly very nice visit with Mom and some family. There were often tense moments. I won't say there weren't some. Scary ones. One time I was left alone with my mother and I thought she was going to pass. I was holding her hand and she went breath to breath and I realized I wasn't ready for her to go. That's when I realized holding her hand. And I've been a hospice chaplain, so I'm used to being with people when they're at the moment of passing, and I really felt that feeling, you know, her breathing could stop at any moment. She is, you know, she's just very sick. Anyway, thank God. I cried out to the Lord, and the Lord spared me that moment. And not only did he spare me, a little while later, she popped up, stood up, went out to the living room, and played cards with the boys and had dinner with us. So she perked up. So God quickened her. That was my prayer so often. God, quicken Mom, quicken her body, quicken her. And she did. She perked up. We prayed that. And when we prayed for peace and shalom and sleep, she would sleep. One night she slept 6 hours. She hasn't slept 6 hours in 35 years. I'm telling you, she doesn't sleep. And she slept 6 hours through. She woke up, she'd know where she was. She said she scared her. She's not used to sleeping. Praise the Lord. So I noticed that when we prayed for her, she had two of the best nights' sleep in years. And we anointed her. And then the hospice nurse said, when she told her the next morning after her second night of good sleep, the hospice nurse said it was because the nurse was sending positive Reiki messages, thoughts, to my mother. The nurse was sending positive Reiki messages. I've never seen one floating through the air, positive Reiki thoughts. But anyway, I said, no, it was prayer that caused my mother to sleep, not Reiki. So you don't have it Reiki. But bum. All right. Love one another. Love your brother. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. It's just after Hey Jude. Oh, actually, it's before Hey Jude. 1 John. All right. Chapter 2, verse 1. My children, I am writing these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an intercessor with the Father, the righteous Messiah, Yeshua. He is the atonement for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the whole world. Now, we know that we have come to know him by this. If we keep his commandments, the one who says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God is truly made perfect. So it's okay if you mess up and you don't keep God's word. Does not mean that God isn't in you unless it's a permanent condition. So a messianic or a Christian who tells a lie isn't necessarily a liar if they repent of it and don't make it a habit. A Christian or a messianic person who feels hatred in their heart for the moment but repents of it and changes and turns from that feeling isn't a murderer. Jesus says if you hate someone, your brother, in your heart, you've committed murder. But if you are a believer and you feel that, you're human, there's going to be times when some of us are going to feel those feelings toward people. And if you feel it, it doesn't mean you're not a believer and that God's not in you. It just means you stumbled and you need to repent and get back on your horse. Amen? So a pastor friend told me that. Very wise words. You don't lose your salvation because you hate that guy who you had a run-in in traffic and he bumped into you and then he didn't stop and he drove off and, you know, whatever, you know, and you feel anger and rage rise up in you and police say it was your fault or whatever and it wasn't your fault and you get the blame. We're supposed to just take it. You know, we're supposed to just turn the other cheek, Yeshua said. It's not easy to do. Amen? Amen. So let me read on. So I said in verse 3, now we know that we have come to know him by this. If we keep his commandments, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. So if you don't keep his commandments, but you repent and go back to it, we know God is in you, that the love of God is truly made perfect. We know that we are in him by this. Whoever claims to abide in him must walk just as he walked. Haters stumble in the darkness. Loved ones, I am not writing a new commandment for you, but an old commandment, one you have had from the beginning. This old commandment is the word you have heard, yet I am writing a new commandment for you, which is true in him, in you, because the darkness is fading and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. That's an important verse. The one who says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness. He doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has made his eyes blind. You may, and you know, I have three siblings, and, you know, it's not smooth sailing for all of us. Some, we don't all get along. You know, I'm just going to be honest. We don't all get along. Some get along better than others. Some get along with each other. Some get along. Some don't, you know, don't get along with anybody. Okay? And I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but I'll just say this. I had a run-in, you know, with one of my siblings, and you know, even though I don't think I was totally at fault, I just wrote a letter apologizing for any part I had and in you know, a disagreement that we had, okay? And I asked forgiveness, and I didn't say, but, or I'll forgive me, you know, but I also, but if you, you know, you did this, I didn't say that. I just said, forgive me for what I did. Now, when you have an argument with someone you love, a cousin, a family member, a friend, it can be a friend, it can be someone in the congregation. When you have an argument or a dispute with someone you love, a relative, all you can do is go to them. You can repent of it, be sorry. You can go to that person, and if they can either receive you, it says somewhere in the scripture, it says in the Proverbs, a brother who's been offended it's very difficult to win them back. If you've offended a brother, it says it somewhere in the Proverbs, it's difficult to win back such a brother. Amen? Once they've been offended, it's difficult to win them back. So I've tried that. I've had people in the congregation offended with me, sometimes for a good reason, sometimes not. Most people, oftentimes, you do good things for them. I remember we had a gal live with us for 6 months. I prayed healing over her mother. Her mother got healed from cancer. Thank you, sir. Her mother got healed from cancer. I prayed. I led her to the Lord. I buried her. What more could I do? When the daughter was suicidal, I took her to the hospital. This is the one who was living with us. She was a member of the congregation. We loved her like parents. We gave her a place to stay in our house. But, you know, she became suicidal. We had to took her to the hospital. We know we've been down that road. We've seen somebody commit suicide. We knew if you ever encounter this situation where somebody makes a serious threat to harm themselves or they cut themselves, don't wait. Just say, let's go for a ride. Get them in the car and drive them to the hospital. Don't feel sorry if they give you grief. If you ask you where you go, they ask you where you're taking them, tell them. But take them to the hospital, because would you rather have them in life, or would you rather see them, you know, either not see them again or see them, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now? You know, so if somebody's threatening to hurt themselves and you hear it, do something. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Where was I in the scriptures? So there's times when you have a dispute, a bitter dispute with somebody, and you ask them for forgiveness, and you want to make peace, and they don't want to make peace with you. They don't want to make peace with you. Have you ever encountered that? Have you ever had a dispute with somebody? You've gone to them, the Bible says go to them, and you try to make peace with them, and they don't want to make peace with you. They don't want any part of you. They don't want to talk to you. In fact, all they want to do is bring up the fight, and they hold on to the bitterness, and they want to throw it back, you know, throw it back in your face, and all you're trying to do is make peace. What do? You go to God, and you say, God, will you forgive me for anything that I did to offend this brother or sister? Will you forgive me? Ask God for forgiveness. You repent and say, I commit this person into your hands, God. I commit this person into your hands, because they won't talk to me. You know, you're just stirring up a hornet's nest. If you try to go to someone who's not ready to receive, to forgive you, amen? You're just stirring up a hornet's nest. If you go to them and you try to fix it, they're just going to blame it on you. And you'll get in another fight. Turn to 1 John. Let's finish here. Verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the dark and walks in darkness. He doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has made his eyes blind. Chapter 3, verse 10. It is clear who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. By this, anyone who does not act righteously or love his brother is not of God. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil, while his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Listen to me. We know we have... Guys. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We have come to know love by this. Yeshua laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. But if someone has material possessions and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Children, let us not love with word or talk, but in deed and truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and set our heart at rest before him. Whenever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Loved ones, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what is pleasing in his sight. Now this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Yeshua, the Messiah, and love one another, just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. We know that he abides in us by this, by the Spirit he has given to us. Amen. Amen. believers must abide in him to bear fruit. Turn to John 15. John 15. Believers must abide in him. The Bible says in Proverbs, the fruit of life, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If you've never led somebody to the Lord, I urge you to pray and ask God to give you that opportunity for a divine appointment. And to teach you, if you don't know how to lead someone to the Lord, I urge you to pray and ask God to show you how to lead someone. It's really not that difficult. And if if you like, I have a method that I can show you that you can lead someone to the Lord in 2 minutes or less. It's very straightforward, and I'd be glad to share it with you. It's on a piece of paper. It's a one-page way to lead someone to the Lord, and I'll be glad to share it with you afterward. But anyway, John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he trims, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it abides on the vine. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. So abide in me, and you will bear fruit, he says. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and is dried up. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. So you want to be, that's why on Sukkot we carry a branch and a piece of fruit. Because we want to say to God, I'm a fruitful bough. I'm a fruitful branch. I bear fruit. We want to represent, it's just a representation of fruit bearing sheep. Amen? Sukkot, when we carry the, and that's where we met you, Ron, we had the branches and we had the fruit and we marched around and we worshiped the Lord, shaking our branches and carrying our fruit. We're saying, God, I'm a fruitful bough. I'm a fruitful branch. Don't throw me in the fire. Amen? Amen. That's why we don't just carry a branch, we carry a piece of fruit. Hallelujah. And so hopefully, you know, each one of you will be found on that day that you meet your Maker. You will be found to have borne fruit for him. And if you haven't, this is a very serious matter of prayer to ask the Lord, you know, how have I borne fruit for you? You know, what make me fruitful. Lord, make me, let's all say that. Lord, make me fruitful. Make me a fruitful bough. Yeah, amen. It's a good prayer. All right. So believers must abide in him to bear fruit. So there are many people who say they are believers, but they do as they please, not necessarily what is pleasing to God. They do what pleases them, but not. They say they are believers, like the flight attendant I sat next to on the way to Boston, who talked about, she was a good girl in the sense that she wasn't, you know, running with the boys, but she was partying and going out drinking, and she was sharing this with me, and then she asked me what I did, and I told her I was a preacher. and I think she came under conviction. And anyway, we had a nice chat, and I didn't preach, I didn't judge her, you know, but I was listening to her telling me about her drinking stories. And then she goes in at the end, and I didn't know she was a believer. And then at the end of our conversation, she says, I said, so you're going to be a flight attendant for, is this your game plan? She said, well, I plan to go to grad school after college, but God had other plans for me. And when I heard that, I said, she said, the Lord had other plans for me. I said, you know the Lord? She said, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, And then I said, well, I'm a believer too, and I'm a rabbi for Jesus. I'm a messianic rabbi. And she was intrigued with it, you know. But hopefully that got her to think, you know, how am I living my life, you know, before God? Even she's, you know, we can't do it our way. We have to do it His way. Like I said, you're going to fall off your horse. I'm going to fall off my horse. Get back on. Pick yourself up. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Get back on your horse. And don't try not to go back. You know, if you struggle, you know, God knows when he saved you. Somebody asked on Facebook the other day, said, you know, how do we know that God loves everybody? How do we know that God loves all people? Very simple. I answered John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves everybody. We just have to claim the victory that Jesus won. Amen? We have to claim the victory that Jesus won. We can let it sit there in the Bible. We can let it sit there at Calvary. We can let it sit there, or we can claim it. Amen? Make it ours. This is my victory. Yeshua, that's what he wants. He wants you to claim his victory and make it your own. Amen? And that's the victory of the believer. To claim the victory that Yeshua won. Hallelujah. We can't have it our way and God's way unless the two paths are the same. Which path are you on? Okay, now, coming to my conclusion, leading a loved one to the Lord who is near death. I want to share with you some ideas. And before I conclude, I'm going to share with you how to lead a loved one to the Lord. First of all, when you're going to see a loved one that you know is dying, whether so they were in a car accident, they're in a coma, whether they're an older person and they're getting near death or had a heart attack and they're, you know, many ways people go, cancer, whatever. So first pray. Pray before you go see somebody. Pray before you visit. Pray up. Amen? Because you're in for a battle. You're in for a battle. Okay, that's number one. Number two, pray for divine appointment with that person. Ask specifically for an opportunity to share. And then share scripture. You know, share the word of God. If you know, I sat one day with my boys and my mom was sleeping. She was sitting upright in a chair in front of us for 3.5 hours napping in the living room. And we were just sitting around the room with her. And I just took out 1 John and started reading it to her softly. And I was just, she doesn't read the New Testament. I was just sharing it with her. Just the word of God doesn't return void. She's sleeping, listening to the word, and I'm reading 1 John. I asked Isaac, I said, what did you sense in the room? He said, peace. You know, my sister was there who was very against it, but she didn't bother me. She didn't interfere. She stayed in her room. And, you know, and I was just reading 1 John, the whole book, to my mother, you know, as she sat there with her eyes closed. Was she asleep? Jewish mother, you know. Who knows? So that's share the word with your loved ones who are dying. Number three, anoint them. If you have an opportunity to pray with them and anoint them, always bring anointing oil and anoint them because you never know if you'll have another chance. The woman, I don't know if it was Mary Magdalene or so, who came and poured out spikenard on the Lord's feet, and he was at some, you know, Pharisee's house having dinner, and they said to him, you know, I think it was somebody said to him, maybe it was Judas, you know, this expensive spikenard is valuable, could have been used we could sell it and give the money to the poor, and the Lord said, you only have me for a little while longer. What she did is a good thing. She anointed me for burial. She anointed me for burial. So I always anoint people who are dying for burial. I always, when I have the opportunity to do it, I always anoint them for burial. Spikenard. Okay. Now, even in a coma, people can hear you. The last thing to go is your hearing. So even in a coma, people can hear you. Now, old people, you need to speak loud. But try to get alone with them if you have unbelievers around you. Try to get some alone time. Ask them if you can spend some time with the door shut and just, you know. And then speak what I generally tell people in a coma, and I've done this several times. One time, a little girl named Brooke was 15. She was with her boyfriend, and he was driving 120 miles an hour down toward Johnson City, I think on the Volunteer Parkway. His car flipped over, rolled over several times. They were both, he was killed instantly. She was found and in a coma. They brought her to the hospital. I was called to her bedside, and she couldn't communicate. She was in a coma. But I said to her, I said, Brooke, call on the name of Jesus. She wasn't Jewish. I said, Brooke, call on the name of Jesus. Jesus will save you. I said it very boldly into her ear. Jesus will save you. I was called to her for this reason. Jesus will save you. Call on the name of Jesus. Jesus loves you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on Jesus. He can help you. And tears started coming down her face. She couldn't talk, and the next morning she passed. And you know, her mother, a few days later at the funeral, her mother her mother's mother was my tenant. And the girl's mother, Brooke's mother, went to the funeral, and she was so upset she didn't know where Brooke was, because Brooke wasn't a Christian in this life. In her life, she didn't believe, and she wasn't born again. And so the mother, after the funeral, wouldn't get out of the car until God showed her where she was. And she was wrestling with God in the car, and she was waiting. She wouldn't go in the house. And God gave her a vision. And she saw a river, and on the other side of the river, two people in white robes came down. She was on one side, the mother was on one side of the river, and on the other side, Yeshua was holding Brooke's hand, and they were wearing white robes, and they came down to the river holding hands, and they smiled at the mother, and they waved to her. And then they turned around and walked away. And she knew from that vision that Brooke was with Yeshua. Amen? 15-year-old girl lost her life, but she's with the Lord. Praise God. Amen? And, you know, I didn't, that's just, you know, I'm not anything special. I just did what, I was just obedient to the Lord to go and tell the girl in her coma the night before she died what she needed to hear, you know? So I've done that many times for people in comas, and I encourage you to do the same if you're able to. If God presents you the opportunity, don't shrink back from it. Hallelujah. Okay, and one thing, telling people in a coma, they can't tell anybody that you told them. So you have that going for you. Praise God. So let's conclude. Our Lord said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So not only are you going to be rejected by family, your man will not be a prophet in his hometown or in his own household, Yeshua said. Okay? Remember Nazareth, where he got up and he spoke Isaiah, and he said, these words have been fulfilled in your hearing today. And they said, isn't this Yeshua, the son of Mary and Joseph, the carpenter's son? You know, he's telling us scripture's fulfilled. Who does he think he is? You know, man shall not be a prophet in his hometown or in his household. And he shall not be respected, it says, in his household. He shall not be respected. And then Yeshua Yeshua added to it. He said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. John 15:20. The world we live in with new laws allowing post-birth abortions, i.e. infanticide, murder. I want to just point out, they say that abortion is an excuse, late-term abortion protect the mother's health. But if the baby's born or could be born and the mother's health isn't in jeopardy, that's not an excuse to murder a baby. Right. Amen? That's not an excuse to murder a child. We live in a sick, twisted world right now. I think it was even worse in the time of Yeshua. I think it was even worse in many ways in the time of the first century. It was a brutal, violent world. It was a world with no justice, no constitution. People didn't have rights. People didn't have a safety net. They didn't have welfare. You know, if you were poor, you were a beggar. If you were lame, you were out on the side of the road. That's where you were, unless you had a rich family or something, which was rare. You know, you were on the street with your hand out with a cup. If you were blind, you were useless. You were just sitting there on the side of the road with a cup, you know, trying to get some money to eat. And life was miserable. There was no penicillin. There was no antibiotics. There was no pain. They probably had painkillers, but not like today. You know, they didn't have medical treatments. They had paleo treatments. Praise the Lord. I'm sure they actually knew things that we've lost. We probably knew things to treat ailments in some ways that we've lost. I'm sure they did. But we live in a world today allowing post-birth abortion, sodomite marriage, censorship, persecution of those who stand for God, the Bible, prayer life, the Constitution. If you stand for the Constitution, you're a racist, you're the enemy, you are a scum of the earth. If you stand for any of the above, if you're against abortion, if you're against sodomite marriage, if you're against censorship, if you're pro-constitution, pro-second amendment, pro-Bible, pro-scripture, pro-church, pro-synagogue, pro-God, pro-Yeshua, pro-Jesus, pro-First Amendment, pro-Donald Trump, whatever you are of those things, you are the scum of the earth. They call you a racist. They call you a Nazi. They call Trump Hitler. You are, that's what the opposition calls you. They hate your guts. They hate your guts. And you know what you have to do? Somebody said on the radio the other day, I heard someone say, before you get into a heated discussion or a heated argument with that person who doesn't believe in God, who believes in abortion, who believes in these other things, who believes totally different than you do, before you get into a heated political debate, pray for that person. Pray for that person before you fight with them. Pray for them. We have to remind ourselves to do that. It's so easy to, you know, take the hook, take the bait, and get into the argument, you know. But they're lost, just as we were lost. They're sinners, just as we were sinners before we had Yeshua. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And if you think about it now, it was worse in the first century in many ways. As I said, under Roman rule, people were jailed, beaten, arrested, crucified for sharing the gospel. They were starved, made outcasts, treated horribly in many cases. They continued to preach Messiah crucified. They continued to preach Messiah crucified. No matter how bad it got out there, they never stopped preaching Messiah crucified. Amen? The same mission that God sent me to my mother is the mission we have to the world. No matter what's going on, our job is to preach Messiah crucified to whoever will listen. And if you don't have someone to listen to, I took my sons to New York City. We were in Times Square, and somebody challenged me on Facebook. I happened to be looking, showing pictures, live FaceTime, you know, on Facebook, just, you know, videoing. And somebody, a friend of mine, said, are you sharing the gospel? And I said, no. I said, but I can. So I started street preaching, because I'm an old street preacher from way back. And so I started preaching, repent, for the end of all things is at hand. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll be saved. And I just kept repeating that. It's very clear. Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. The word of God will not return void. Amen? You're not responsible for what the thousands of people or hundreds who hear you think of you. You're not responsible for what they do with your words. You're just responsible to speak them, because faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:9, I believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Share the word. Get on Facebook. Get on social media. Share the word. Make that your mission. If that's your circle of influence, Twitter, whatever, use it to share the word. That's a great ministry. Amen? If that's your circle of influence, if you have an office you work at, share it in the office as God gives you opportunity. You've got to be careful at the office. Be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Amen? But no matter how much persecution the early believers had, they continued to preach Messiah crucified, and many of them were crucified without a fair trial by a jury of their peers. As a sign of his return, Yeshua said in Matthew 24:9, let's turn there for a second. In Matthew 24:9, Yeshua said, they will hand you over to persecution and will kill you. You will be hated. This is a sign of his return. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. And then many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Many Reichists. Many Reichist people. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Yeshua said, he told us, there's going to be persecution in the end of days before he comes. The time is now. The time is now. And you've got to preach the gospel in your sphere of influence, where you have opportunity. I remember when I first moved here, there was a gas station, and you could rent the sign outside. Instead of advertising a gallon of milk for $2.99, people would rent the sign from the lady that owned the little convenience store and gas station. So I rented the sign at Hanukkah, and I had you could write any message you want. Happy birthday, Kim. You know, happy 50th birthday, Sue. Whatever. And it was Hanukkah time, so I had it wrote happy Hanukkah, Jesus. That's what I put. John 10:22. It says, Yeshua was walking in the court of Solomon in the temple, and it was winter time, and it was the Feast of Dedication. Most Christians don't know the Feast of Dedication. The word in Hebrew is Hanukkah. It means dedication. So in the New Testament, the only biblical reference to Hanukkah is in the New Testament. And so I gave the scripture. I said, happy Hanukkah, Jesus, John 10:22. And I'm sure it opened a lot of eyes. It didn't say from Love Joe Bell. I didn't put my name on it. I just paid for the sign for 5 days or a week, you know? And, use whatever means you have to share the gospel. Be creative. You're creative people. Say, I'm creative. Use your sphere of influence wherever you have. If you're in a quilting club, share with the quilting club. You know, if you play You know, Mahjong, share with your Mahjong group. If you work as your door greeter at Walmart, as God gives you opportunity to share with people, with, you know, whatever, wherever you are, pray for those opportunities. Amen? Amen. And if you're blessed, like my brother Ron here, to work for a godly Christian man who's an evangelist, you probably wouldn't mind at all if you shared the gospel with somebody. Not at all. Amen. Well, that's a blessing. Amen. Okay, so before you get into an argument with somebody over abortion or politics or the Constitution or the president, pray for that person. Don't misunderstand me. Government is all throughout the Scripture. Kings, prime ministers, pharaohs, queens, Joseph, Daniel, Esther, Herod, Pilate, Cyrus, etc. People in government, Jewish people in government. Government is all through the Bible, and it plays an important part. Prophets went to the kings and preached to the kings. Amen? And whether a king chose to follow the Lord or not was dependent, with the nation depended, you know, the future of the nation depended on whether that king disobeyed God like Moses' Pharaoh, or its prosperity continued if he followed God like Joseph's Pharaoh. Amen? It prospered for another 400 years until Moses. I want to share something before I end that my wife said. She had the best, one of the best, probably the best encounter with my mother. She said to my mother, she had an opportunity, and Don's never really shared with her that I remember. But she said to my mother, she said, "Harriet, Jesus is like Moses." She said, "I know you don't believe in Jesus, and you believe your religion is different. But," she said, "Jesus is like Moses." She said, "Moses led the people out of Egypt, and he parted the sea by God's power. He parted the sea, and he took them into the promised land. Jesus came to take us out of this world and lead us into the next, to cross the sea, to cross the river, to cross the water, to lead us across from death to life. That's what Jesus came. And when he comes to you to offer you that opportunity as you near your time, when he comes to you, not if, but when, don't reject him. Don't reject him." My wife was bold, and she spoke to my mother and said, "Harriet, don't reject him." And my mother said to her, "I won't." She said, "I won't reject. I won't reject him. If he comes to me, I won't reject him." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our main mission is to preach Messiah crucified and to love even those who hate us as well as we love one another. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And if you're feeling hatred towards your brother, if you're in congregation and you're backstabbing and you're speaking Lashon Hara, evil tongue, and you're critical of a brother, you've fallen off your horse. If you're backstabbing, whether it's your leader or anybody, your neighbor, and you're in congregation, you're not walking with the Lord, and you need to get right. And if you beat that into your head, that in your heart so much, first things get into our head, then they get to our heart. They have to travel. But if we get that into your head and into your heart, and you hear from somebody, you know, so-and-so did this, or so-and-so said this, or do you know what he preached last week? You know, or you think you have the right to tell, you know, I would never go to my leaders and say to them the things that people have said to me through the years. I would never, in my wildest imagination, say to my authorities the things that people have said to me. I won't go into detail. But my word to you is, before you go to a man of God and let him have it, pray hard, because his protector is God. Amen. God is his defense. And if you see a man of God and they need correction, you notice when David was with Bathsheba, God didn't send just anyone. He sent David's best friend, Nathan, who was a prophet. And Nathan didn't just go to the king and say, "Oh, king, you sinned. You shouldn't have taken that man's wife." He gave him a parable of a man who had one little sheep and a man who had a huge flock. And the man with the flock took the little sheep. And David said, "Well, have him killed. Who is the man? Bring him, have him get rid of him. Kill him." And Nathan said, "He's you. You're the man. Look in the mirror, dude." And then David realized what he was talking about. But it took an equal, I never go to a high leader and tell them their sin. I pray for them. Now, if they're going to go off a cliff, that's another story, But I'll leave it at that. So we preach Messiah crucified and to love even those who hate us. It's very hard to do. Shabbat Shalom. Please stand up. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. Vayasem lecha shalom." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus our Messiah. Shabbat Shalom. You are dismissed. Greet one another again and have a great week. Shavuot Tov. And remember, tomorrow is the Super Bowl, the Silence of the Rams. Go Patriots!